Since Lent began 17 or so days ago in these Sunday morning sermons, I've sent you home with pockets full of rocks. And last week I made you listen to the sermon in the dark with just some candles glowing on the table. So you're probably rightfully asking yourself, what is she going to do today? Well, I'm glad you asked. One of the commentators I read about this passage of the woman at the well, this person wrote that if he had to pick just one story to tell someone about who Jesus is, this is the story that he would pick. It's a fascinating story with all of these layers of cultural implications that you don't always get unless you have a little extra help along the way. So today you're going to hear from the woman at the well herself, and she's going to fill in some of those details for you. This sermon is going to be a monologue, a first-person monologue, as though I am the woman at the well telling you my story. And I will let you know that I didn't write this, that my friend Anita, that I went to seminary with, wrote this script, and I've kind of modified it a little bit as I've done my own reading throughout the week. But the bulk of it is her creativity. And I'm not ashamed to say that I tried to write one myself this week, and hers was way better than mine. So with her permission, I'm using her words this morning. So hear the story of the woman at the well, this time in her own words. You would never recognize me as the woman I was when I met Jesus. But I remember just like it was yesterday. The Valley of Shechem is blistery hot at noon. You'd never find anybody out and about that time of day, yet that's exactly when I was heading to Jacob's well for water. Why in the heat of the day, you ask? Well, the other women in town, they went out in the cool of the morning, but they had made it clear that I was not welcome among them, that they didn't want to be soiled by the likes of me. So I went to the well at noon, as usual, that day. But I discovered this time I was not alone. There was a man sitting there, but not just any man. He was a Jewish man, and I could tell by the fringe on his robe. And I wondered, what was a Jew doing here in Samaria? Here in Sychar. You know, the Jews think we Samaritans are half-breeds, that coming near us would make them unclean. They actually will walk miles out of their way to avoid Samaria so they don't become impure like us. So as I walked toward that well, I wondered, what was this Jew doing here? At my well. He didn't get up as I approached. He didn't turn his back on me. He didn't look the other way, but he spoke to me. And I thought, a Jewish man speaking to a Samaritan woman? For a Jew, merely speaking to a woman in public is wrong. Speaking to a Samaritan woman in public is worse. I figured he must already be unclean like me. Why else would he speak to me? But not only did he just speak to me, he actually asked me for a favor. He wanted me to give him water from the well. A Jew who would actually share something in common with a Samaritan, it was unthinkable. So of course I refused. I wasn't about to help a Jew. Truthfully, I would have run away, except I really needed the water. And he kind of laughed a little when I refused. And he said, if I had asked him for water, he would have given me living water. I wasn't sure what he was talking about, because living water comes from a stream, and everyone knows that running water is better than well water, but where was he going to get it? I thought he must have been teasing or taunting me. Now, believe me when I say I have known many men in my life, and none of them have treated me very well. So I was determined that no man was going to get the better of me. So I sassed him right back. And I told him I didn't see him carrying any bucket. He didn't even have a cup with him, for crying out loud. Where were you going to get this living water? I asked him. And before he could answer, I approached him again, and I asked him if he thought he was greater than Jacob, who gave us Samaritans, this well. And I figured maybe that would kind of get his goat a little bit, because the Jews didn't believe that Jacob was the father of the Samaritans. They thought all the forefathers belonged to the Jews. So I figured I had gotten him. I'd stumped him with my question, but he just laughed gently again. And he said that if I drank the water he gave me, I would never be thirsty again. And I was thirsty. So thirsty. So his offer sounded pretty good to me. Imagine to never be thirsty again. To never have to walk out to Jacob's well in the middle of the heat of the day again. And I thought, even if he's just joking or teasing me, I was so thirsty, I would take his living water. And then, do you know what he said? He said, go and get your husband and come back. And he looked at me. He looked at me, and his eyes seemed to look right through me. Just when I thought I was safe, just when I had established a new, if not completely happy, life here, away from the eyes of society, the judgmental eyes of society, I realized that this man knew exactly who I was. When we're guilty, I guess we're never really safe, are we? The joke I had ready on my lips died suddenly. And all I could stammer out in response to his question was, I have no husband. Then as he went on, I stiffened, and I could feel the blood draining from my face. And with his eyes on me, he told me about the five men I had lived with and the one I was living with at the time. I couldn't figure it out. How did he know so much about me? But even as he was telling me all kinds of things about myself, things I didn't particularly want to hear, he didn't mock me. And he didn't judge me. He just spoke matter-of-factly. And I felt my guilt cover me like ashes. I felt faint, and I bent over the well to splash some cold water on my face, and it was as if I could see my life in the dark water of that well. And I saw myself for what I was. I was embarrassed. And I tried to change the subject by talking about temples and worship and the right place and the right way to do it, but this man wouldn't let me change the subject. He just continued to look at me with those eyes, so full of sympathy and love. No man has ever looked at me with that kind of love in his eyes. And he took the heavy pitcher that I had been holding from my hands. And I felt like he had taken the weight of my sin with it. not knowing what to do next, I blurted out, "Well, when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all about everything we need to know." And do you know what he said? He said, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." I found out later that I was the first person to hear those words, a Samaritan, a woman, a sinner, and I was the first. I had met the Messiah. He knew exactly who I was and loved me anyway. And my life changed completely. I tasted the living water of forgiveness, and it tasted so good. I was free of the life that had weighed me down and the choices that had made me unclean. I was loved, and by God, I was clean. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I just couldn't keep my mouth shut about this encounter with Jesus, so I ran back home immediately. I ran back to the people who had ostracized me and shunned me and mistreated me. I ran right back to the very people who had pushed me to the edges of our society to tell them about Jesus. And I said, "Come and see. Come and see this man who knows every single deep, dark thing about me and loves me. Me, anyway." And incredibly, they believed in him too. I said at the beginning of my story, you'd never recognize me as the woman I was when I met Jesus. He had completely turned my life around. And if there's anything you can learn from hearing me tell my story, let it be this. Tell others about Jesus. Tell others how Jesus knows all about you and loves you anyway. Tell others about how Jesus knows all about you and forgives you. Tell others how Jesus has given you the living water and that he will give it to them too. Tell others that he will look at them with eyes of love, not condemnation, just like he did to me. Tell others that he will let them drink of his living water, and they will be clean, just like me. Tell others that my life has been completely changed. And tell them their lives can be changed too. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.